different scriptures throughout the Bible. Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 and 8. Here we're going to find this text talk about beautiful feet. How many of you have beautiful feet? You just... Several of you. All right, okay. Let's get... But you know, the Bible touches on everything. There's nothing in that's not addressed somewhere in the Bible. And to your shock and amazement, feet is addressed as well. And so this morning, I'm going to preach to you on beautiful feet. So let's ask God's blessing. Father in heaven, I pray that you be with us as we look into your scriptures. And Lord, as we look at this prophetic text in Isaiah, I pray that you would help us to see how that every one of us can have beautiful feet. Help us to be those people that desire to have you use us in such a way that you see our feet as beautiful. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Isaiah chapter 52, and I'm going to read to you verses 7 and 8. It says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, and bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion." When we look at this text, what we find is a text talking about those who will preach and teach, share and spread the gospel. Now, one of the reasons I chose this text this morning is because we are encouraging folks to go to the Essex Fairgrounds up there for the Decision America Northeast Tour. And there, Brother Graham will be preaching the gospel. But you don't have to be a preacher of the gospel like your pastor. You don't have to have gone to college and taken theological classes, et cetera, to have beautiful feet. According to this text, to have beautiful feet, you just need to be one who carries the message forth. So when we look at this text, there's several things that kind of gives us a hint how to get there. Some of you look at your feet and you think to yourself, oh man, they're disgusting. Wouldn't you like to change that? Wouldn't you like to look at your feet and say, God sees my feet as beautiful? And that's what, is that not more important than how you see your feet? That God sees them as beautiful. So he starts off here in verse 7, and he says to us, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings." So he starts right off by letting us understand what it is that makes our feet beautiful. And it is that we stand up. He uses the visualization of upon a mountaintop. But maybe you might use that as you get on your soapbox, or maybe as Mrs. Dobson, as she sits at the lunch table on Sunday afternoon and she starts to teach her whole family about the Bible lesson this morning that we're going to have as they talk around their table. No matter where it is that you get on your mountaintop or on your soapbox or where you get somebody gathered around to listen to you, when you do, if you are one who brings good tidings, and that's what he says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings." And this is actually somewhat a prophetic verse, pointing to the fact that the message of Jesus Christ would be brought forth. Romans chapter 10, verses 15 through 17 say, "How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So the scriptures, both in Old Testament and New Testament, refer to the fact that you and I, that when we spread the gospel, when we bring the good news, God sees our feet as beautiful feet. In fact, maybe even a bit angelic. It's getting better all the time, isn't it? From beautiful to almost angelic.
When you look in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." So here we find that even the angels brought good tidings. They brought that message of hope and peace. And of course, in that particular text, it's the angels bringing it to the shepherds. And they were letting them know, listen, the Messiah has been born. He's come forth. He's ready to bear the sins of the world. And so you and I, when we share that with our children, our neighbors, our parents, our coworkers, when we share it in our community or through a Sunday school class or junior church or wherever it is that we bear good tidings concerning our Lord, we are doing even as the angels did, and our feet are even as beautiful. These good tidings are for all people throughout all ages. It wasn't just for the time of Isaiah. It wasn't just for the time of the angels talking to the shepherds. That's why you find even in the book of Romans where it says, how are people going to hear unless somebody goes and tells them? And that somebody this morning is you and I, as we're hearing the message and we're being challenged to go forth and make our feet beautiful by bearing good tidings. But when you go back with me to Isaiah and you look in at the second part of verse 7 there, it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. Notice the second piece of that. He says, that publisheth peace. So it's not just a message of good tidings. It's also a message of peace. And the message of peace he's talking about is a powerful peace. It's a God-given peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So this peace is a peace that comes from God through the power of God, that it might keep our hearts and minds through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we share that message of peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the scriptures teach us that before we receive Christ, we're at enmity with God. And what that simply means is we are an enemy of God. When we reject God, we're an enemy of God. But when we come to Christ, through Christ, we become at peace with God because we follow his message of salvation. So when we look at this text, we understand that when we bear the message of peace, that powerful peace that God offers to all who will receive Christ as their Savior, our feet are also those beautiful feet of the messenger who's upon the hilltop. He desires for us to have that sound mind, for you and I to have that sound heart spiritually through the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them, and the God of peace shall be with you. So as the Apostle Paul writes to you and I and to people of all ages under the inspiration of God, he lets us know that there are steps we can take in our lives. Your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, there are steps they can take to have that peace of God in their lives. That's why he said, in this text, Philippians 4, 9, that if we go ahead and take those things we've learned, take those things we've received, take those things that we have heard and seen out of the Bible, if we take them, if we're more than a hearer and we become a doer, he says, then the peace of God will be in you. That's the message that the Graham Association wants to bring to Vermont. That's the message that God wants you and I, from the time of Isaiah all the way today, to go ahead and bring to our neighbors, our friends, and our coworkers. The message of the peace of God that is so powerful, that gives us peace of mind and peace of heart. The peace of God that we can follow as we have heard and seen, as we have learned, we do it. Don't just listen to it, we do it. That the God of peace shall be with us. Go back with me and look at our text again in Isaiah chapter 50, 2, and look with me at verse 7. So the first one we see concerning acquiring those beautiful feet is that we bring good tidings. Second one is that we publish or broadcast or put the word out there concerning the peace of God. And the third one in verse 7, if you look at it, it says, and they will bring good tidings of good. So not just bring good tidings, he says they're going to bring good tidings of good. So the angels brought good tidings when they told the shepherds that Jesus Christ was coming. But he's saying to us, not only do we bring the gospel message of Christ, we bring good tidings of good. The message of the work of God beyond just the gospel. You see, we have a responsibility not only to see people come to salvation, but to disciple them and teach them and see them continue to learn and grow in their faith. We bring the good tidings of good. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So he's laying out for us a buffet of good. He's saying we need to bring good tidings of good. And here he gives to us in Philippians this whole cornucopia of good. This afternoon, you and I that are going to take this CPR class, Brother Paul's going to zip down to the grocery store and he's going to get the subs. But then lots of people brought summer salads. And so we'll set all those summer salads out on the table down in the foyer. Makes you wish you'd have signed up for the class, doesn't it? Be all these summer salads, and it'll just be a whole variety. And you can go through and you can say, well, I'm not so much into the green salads like lettuce, that kind of stuff. But look at this salad here with marshmallows and walnuts and some kind of whipped cream. There you go, huh? So it's like a whole variety. Or you might be the person who says, marshmallows. No, I don't like marshmallows. We're not going. But right over here is some kind of a salad with chunks of avocado. I know, Joey. But it's got other good stuff. All that variety of good. Well, here he's talking to us not about salad buffets. He's talking to us about goodness. And he tells us, he lays it right out for us. And I love the way he just gives us these bullet points all the way down through. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honest, whatever is just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, if there be anything worthy of praise, he says, think on these things. So these are the kind of things that make your feet beautiful when you share them and spread them, these pure, good, truthful, praiseworthy things. He says, be a bearer of those good things in word and deed in your life. And they make your feet beautiful. Now, you might spend lots of money going to the podiatrist. You might have them go in there and sand and shape. They might do the whole massage solutions and all that stuff. But when they're all done, you still have the same feet, don't you? But here you can change not your feet, but the perception of your feet. Amen? That's the beginning. By being one who bears, yes, good tidings, but good tidings of that which is good. James chapter 1, verse 25 says, but whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. You and I, not the people who forget what they hear, but people who go ahead and hide it in their heart and they embrace the perfect law of liberty, the gospel and the truths of the Bible, and they practice it. They're a doer of the work. That's what we're supposed to be as Christians. We're not just a computer that takes data. That's not what we are. We're human beings, a unique creation of God, and God reaches down into our lives and touches us, and He expects it to change us when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. And the message of good tidings, of good things, should change us to be people who live in such a way as to honor the Lord. It changes us, and thereby we are able to share those truths that others may be changed as well. This week I was reading a devotion, and it was talking about how that there's not one of us who somebody didn't share the gospel with us. Somebody, somewhere, sometime. In order for us to be under the hearing of the gospel, somebody, somewhere, sometime shared with us the hope of the gospel. And that's exactly what the next generation needs to have happen to them. Just as somebody cared about you, we need to go and stand upon that mountaintop, that soapbox, the head of the table, the end of the workbench, wherever it is that you are in contact with other people. We have to go ahead and be a proclaimer of that which is good tidings, that which is peace, that which is good tidings of good. And then if you go back with me to our text there in Isaiah chapter 11, you look down at verse 7 again, and you come down and it gives to us yet another one. It says, yes, the good tidings, yes, publishing peace, yes, bringing good tidings of good, but it says also that publisheth salvation. Now, that's pretty pointed. He's really getting to the point, the gist of the matter. He's saying, you and I, every one of us, has a responsibility to simply share the message of salvation. Because the Bible teaches us that without Christ, we are lost, we're undone. In fact, we are guilty and found guilty in our own sin. Scriptures teach us that if we say we don't sin, the truth is not in us. All of us struggle with the sin nature, no matter who we are. Whether it's the pastor or Franklin Graham, or whether it's the deacon Paul or Kurt, or whether it's a Sunday school teacher or a choir member or anybody, every one of us. But the message is that Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's you and I before we came to Christ. He came to seek and to save us, that He could give to us that peace, that He could give to us that good tiding of good things, that He could give to us salvation. I want you to look with me, if you would, over to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1, very beginning of that gospel message, that gospel book. Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to read to you verses 76 through 79, and listen to what he says. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us. Now, what this text is Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Now, John is being prophesied as the foreteller, the forerunner, the proclaimer of the coming gospel. And his dad is prophesying while John is just but an infant. He's saying, listen, I want you to understand that you are called to have beautiful feet. You are called to go to the mountaintop and to proclaim. You are called to go into the wilderness, into the highways and the byways and the hedges, and to compel them to come to salvation. Thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. And you and I also are called to go forth into our neighborhoods, in our community, in our families, in our work sites. We are called to go and to say, listen, look to the one, not me, but look to Jesus, just like John needed to do. In fact, Christ made it clear in Luke chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. It says, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus himself said, salvation has come, and salvation is in him. That he had come to seek and to save those folks. And you and I still today are bearing that message. And that is why you find both in Romans as well as in Isaiah and spattered through the Bible, these references that tell us to go forth and proclaim. And those who do go forth and proclaim, he says they have beautiful feet because they're bearing, carrying forth the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel message is not a complicated message. Scriptures teach us that Jesus Christ, God from heaven above, left heaven and came down, took upon himself the form of a man, born of a virgin. We just studied that in Isaiah this morning in Bible Hour at 9:45. If you don't come to the 9:45 Bible Hour, let me put a plug in. Come, that you might learn and grow in the Scriptures. But we just looked at that text that talks about Jesus Christ was prophesied to be born, to come forth from the lineage of David, and that from a desert land he would sprout up and bring forth the gospel message, bring forth salvation. And here we find, even in the book of Romans, in our New Testament, the simplicity of salvation for those who would look to him. When you come over here to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's that simple. We simply recognize, yes, I am a sinner, and he is the Savior. And he died for my sins and yours. The message of salvation is that we come and humbly bow before him in our hearts and we say, yes, Lord, I am a sinner and I accept the price you paid for my sin. I accept you as my Savior. Turning from our sin, turning to salvation, we embrace the Christ who died for us. We find it all through the New Testament. It's so concise in Romans Road. It's a very easy pattern to follow. But it's all through the New Testament. And that is because even as Isaiah chapter 52 verse 7 says, we have to bring forth, yes, good tidings, yes, peace, yes, good tidings of good, but we also need to publish salvation. That saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. That's the last part. Thy God reigns. So we remember, God reigns. No matter what generation it is, God is reigning. He's in charge. So tomorrow morning, when you go to your job, who's really in charge? God. Well, Pastor, you don't know my foreman. Ooh, wow. Or my office manager, or my plant manager. Listen, every one of those people, their breath is in the hand of God. Their heartbeat is in the hand of God. Things can change in the blink of an eye. God reigns. So when you go to share the gospel with a friend or a neighbor or a coworker, a relative, when you go to share the gospel and you're afraid and you're nervous, you think, well, I should give him one of these little buses and invite him to come and hear the Graham message. The message of salvation. And you think to yourself, oh, I don't know. He might punch me in the nose. She might hit me with her purse. I don't know. Just remember, your God reigns. Your God reigns. You don't need to fear man or your neighbor or your little sister. You just go ahead and you let it be known in your heart that God reigns. I want you to look with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Revelation chapter 11, you come down to verse 15. It's a short and concise verse, but I want you to see it and I want you to hear it. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven, saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Let's read together that last part of verse 15, that very last section. You see it? "And he shall reign forever and ever." The Lord who died on the cross for us and resurrected, as we celebrated just here the other Sunday for Easter. That same Lord ascended up to be in heaven forevermore. That same Lord one day will come in a second coming. There will be many prophecies fulfilled concerning end time events. But just as we see in this book of Revelation, chapter 11, it makes it very clear. He will reign forever and ever. The message you bring forth, the message that Franklin Graham is going to bring forth, the message that I bring forth week after week, the message that you need to be teaching your children and your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, that message of good tidings, that message of peace, that message of good tidings of good, that message of salvation and the message that God reigns is the message that makes your feet beautiful. It's not going to change the structure. It's not going to remove bunions. It's not going to take care of all the problems that you might have. But in God's eyes, you'll have beautiful feet. And that's better than getting rid of the bunions. Let's go ahead and bow our heads as we come to the end of the service. As your head is bowed and as you look in your heart, I ask you this morning, have you ever received Christ as your Savior? We're talking to folks about sharing the gospel, but it has to start with you in your heart and in your life. If you haven't, then in a minute we're going to have an invitation and it's your opportunity. But all of us who have received Christ as our Savior, maybe this morning, you could make a commitment to the Lord to stand upon your mountaintop, wherever that may be and whatever that may look like, and to spread the good news. For Jesus has come, and he will reign forever. And he desires to give to us those good things in life. He desires to give us peace. He desires to give us salvation. Maybe in your heart right now, you need to make a commitment to him. Lord, I will share the truth of the gospel. I will invite people to come and hear a gospel message. Father in heaven, as we come to this invitation time, I pray for your Holy Spirit to stir and move each of our hearts. Help us to be a people who genuinely reach out to the lost and dying world around us. So many people without hope, so many people struggling with drug addictions and conflicts in their marriages and struggles through their teens, so many issues with alcoholism and financial difficulties, just so many life problems. Lord, how we would love to see them come to a place of reconciliation, a place of peace, place of salvation. I pray that you would help us to be that voice on the mountaintop. Stir our hearts, Lord, as only you can do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.